Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. I had just completed my first year of seminary when we had gathered at my uncle's house in southern Illinois, just outside of St. Louis, for a family reunion. It was a pretty big deal. Something like 75 to 80 people ended up coming. Lots I knew, and more than a few I did not. I had co-planned the event with one of my cousins, so I had a little bit of advance notice as to who was coming. One of the families that had driven all the way from Oklahoma City, I had met them as a child, but it had been many years since I'd seen them. Anyway, I was being friendly and catching up with these distant cousins, explaining to them that I had just finished my first year of seminary and how excited I was to be joining the ministry. Suddenly, a cousin who was a few years older than I, from Oklahoma City, said that she was the manager of a radio station that was part of the Moody Bible Institute. She asked if I had done my studying at Moody Bible. I explained that I was in fact enrolled at the Chicago Theological Seminary on the University of Chicago campus. To which she then replied, "If you're not studying at Moody Bible, you aren't going to be a real minister." And then she fumed and walked away. I was shocked. Here I was, a member of my own family, being told that I was not really going into a real ministry. It was, in fact, an experience that I don't think I'll ever forget. Now, I'm not trying to compare myself to Jesus, but the point I'm trying to make is it is hard to impress the people at home, your family. Many of you probably have experienced that. The whole world may be singing your praises, but at home, folks see you either as the shy kid with two left feet or as the wild and crazy guy who's always in trouble. Jesus was enjoying unparalleled success all around Galilee. Large crowds were coming to hear him preach and to hear him teach and to experience his healing power. But here it was, time for a little R&R, a little rest and recovery. So Jesus had headed back home to Nazareth, where he was accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, something that he'd been doing all around the area. Many were told who heard him were amazed. But then our scripture tells us things started to go downhill fast. I believe it was Thomas Wolfe who said, "You can't go home again." Wolfe, by the way, grew up in a large sprawling house at 48 Spruce Street in Asheville, North Carolina. He wrote about his growing up years there in a novel, which he called Look Homeward, Angel. So frank and realistic were his reminiscences that the Look Homeward, Angel novel had been banned from the Asheville Public Library and remained so for 7 years. Today, though, he's a favorite son of Asheville. For many years, he was an embarrassment to the residents of that town, but now they've come to their senses. Jesus was an embarrassment not only to his hometown, but we're told also to his family. Early in Mark's gospel in chapter 3, we read these mystifying words. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He's out of his mind." You think your family doesn't appreciate you? Welcome to the Jesus Club. Jesus wasn't appreciated either. His own family thought he was out of his mind, we're told. After his death and resurrection, Jesus' mother and brothers were very active in the leadership of the church. But when Jesus first began his ministry, they were not what you would term supported. I believe this may resonate with more than a few of you. Maybe you don't feel appreciated either. Maybe you don't feel appreciated at home. Maybe you don't feel appreciated at work. Maybe you don't feel appreciated at church. It happens. Comedian Rodney Dangerfield made a career out of not getting any respect from his wife or his kids or from his parents. He said once, "I don't get any respect. My father carries around the picture of the kid who came with the wallet." It happens in families all over. It happens in communities. It happens in our workplaces, yes, and even in our churches. No respect. Jesus obviously didn't have anything that he needed forgiving. But the people in his community would not let him forget that he was just that carpenter's son. In their minds, he was still the one of those neighborhood brats, somebody not to be taken seriously. If you're one of those people who don't get much respect, I suggest you think about Jesus. His own family and his own town could not see who he was early in his ministry. But of course, that did not keep him from achieving his purpose in life. He was amazed at their lack of faith, we're told, but it didn't slow him down. He knew who he was. He knew why he was there, to serve God. And he gave himself completely to that task that was at hand. Automobile pioneer Henry Ford once said something quite encouraging to those who may not feel appreciated. Ford was speaking of his car, the Model T, all of which came in the same color and same style. And his words, I think, still ring true. Ford said, "All Fords are exactly alike, but no two people are just alike. Every new life is a new thing under the sun. There has never been anything just like it before, and never will be again." A young person ought to get that idea about themselves. They should look for the single spark of individuality that makes them different from other folk, and develop that for all their worth. Society and schools may try to iron it out of them. Their tendency is to put us all in the same mold. But I say, don't let that spark be lost. It's your only really claim to importance. Those are good words for all of us, I think. We may not be getting the positive strokes at home that we feel we deserve, but we need not keep that need not keep us from being all that we can be. There's a man hanging on a cross who was rejected by his own family, his own town, in fact, his own nation. But he saved the world. And he says to us, keep the faith. You are a unique creation of the living God. Let no one tell you that you are of little worth. You are of ultimate value to God. You are so valuable that I died to save you. Here is where true self-respect begins. It is when we realize that we are a child of God. It begins when we realize that Christ died on our behalf. It begins when we hear the Master, who didn't receive any respect from his own people, say to us, "Your sense of identity comes from me. I respect you. I appreciate you. I died for you. I believe in you. I have a purpose for you. Believe in me and never question your self-worth again." Here is where it all begins. Amen.